It's election season, if you haven't looked at your calendar, and Idaho is one of the reddest and, let's be honest, the whitest states in our country. But change could be in the air this November. Democrat Paulette Jordan could become the state's first female governor and the country's first Native American governor. Amanda Peacher has this profile.
When Paulette Jordan takes to the microphone at a recent house party, she starts telling a story.
When I was a kid growing up with my grandparents, I would often wake up before the sun rose and I would always see my grandfather kind of on a ledge like this. And he would
It's a personal and intimate approach. It comes naturally to Jordan.
Farmland,
the small backyard crowd leans in and listens carefully. Jordan is a 38-year-old mom and leader within the Coeur d'Alene tribe. She served in the state legislature before announcing her historic bid for governor. She says she wants to represent underheard voices in the state.
Everyone all across the board, they need to have a seat at the table.
Jordan supports a bunch of issues favored by liberals and Democrats in Idaho. Medicaid expansion, more funding for education, universal health care. But it's her general persona that seems to be exciting young voters, women, and minorities.
We need leadership that is determined and destined to do right by the people. We're just ready. It's well overdue for true representation of the people to be leading in the state office.
Notice how Jordan talks in terms of we and the people. Jasper Lacalzi is a political scientist with the College of Idaho. He says that's her way of captivating audiences.
When she says we, everybody can say, yeah, that's me too.
Still, Lacalzi doesn't see a lot of specificity in Jordan's policy proposals.
She's kind of an empty vessel for people.
Not in a bad way, he says. People can project what they want to see.
For some people, she's the progressive Bernie type, whereas others, she's the woman who's running, and they identify with that. With others, she's the minority.
She's the most amazing person I know.
That's Troy Hank Palmer. He went to high school with Jordan and is now volunteering for her campaign. He says as a teenager, Jordan was fierce at basketball, serious about school, and a good listener.
Instead of going out and doing fun stuff with some of us, you know, she would actually be with her elders and she would be talking with them, learning from them, and always choose that. And so I think that's part of why she's such a wise soul.
A wise soul who, according to her supporters, really listens. At one gathering at a rural ranch, that was on display. A voter approached Jordan to bend her ear about his passion, fracking.
And you heard from me a bunch of times on oil and gas because I was writing to everybody in the legislature constantly.
This guy talks for about 10 minutes. There's a line of other people eager to meet Jordan, but she doesn't brush him off. She listens intently.
Thanks for helping us out, though.
Glad to. And appreciate
we'll talk
you coming
more,
tonight.
So we'll follow
Please
up.
Do. Please.
This willingness to take her time with supporters has led to some criticism. Namely, she's chronically late. But Jordan has an answer for that.
My grandparents raised me the very best way to be respectful. It's why I take the time to listen to every single constituent at every single one of these events. So yeah, we're going to be late because there's going to be over 100 to 200 to 300 people at every event.
Tardiness isn't the only criticism she's dealing with. Her campaign's decision to ask staff to sign non-disclosure agreements became a huge controversy recently. At the same time, there were some staff resignations, and soon after that, the Idaho Statesman reported that her campaign had questionable links to a tribal super PAC. Mark Johnson is a former aide for Idaho's last Democratic governor, Cecil Andrus.
All of that just makes for distractions that I think really dilute the focus and have unfortunately contributed to an image, whether it's real or not, contributed to an image of turmoil and, frankly, incompetence in the campaign.
Not fair, says Jordan. She sees another reason for all the criticism.
You tend to get the hard brunt of everything because you're a woman, and especially when you're the first, or when you're of color, or when you're from rural, or when you're this or that. So.
She says she's ignoring the negativity and focusing on meeting voters one person at a time. But even if she shakes hands with every single Democrat in Idaho, a Jordan victory would be tough. Even, says Jasper Lacalzi, in a year where national Democrats hope to see a blue wave of elected officials.
But that blue wave, it crashes at the red shore of Idaho, and that's where it ends.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Amanda Peacher.
And now we turn to the Republican candidate for governor, Brad Little. James Dawson has this look at the current lieutenant governor.
It's August during election season. Where else would a politician be other than trying to shake as many hands as possible at the Western Idaho Fair?
Do you live here now?
Yeah, we do.
Are you retired or are you working?
Nearly everyone who stops to talk to Brad Little seems to be a recent California transplant, including Gail Anderson.
Hey, sir, how are you?
She sidles up to Little with a grandkid in tow.
This is the next governor of Idaho. Can you say hello?
Little is dressed in a button-up shirt, jeans, and well-worn cowboy boots. Anderson is impressed.
You know what I like about him immediately is the fact that he reminds me of my dad, an old rancher kind of guy from old school, very approachable.
Anderson's quick impression sounds familiar to Jasper Lacalze. He chairs the Department of Political Economy at College of Idaho and says that's how a lot of people see Little.
He comes out of central casting. He's third generation rancher. He wears the cowboy hat. He has the perfect family and the children and the grandchildren and such.
He says that image might stick in people's heads, but
I don't think they really know him. I think they've heard his name, they've seen him, but I think he's a hard person to get to know.
Little is 64. He was born in Emmett, Idaho, to a ranching dynasty. His grandfather emigrated here from Scotland more than a century ago. He was known as the Sheep King because he built up one of the largest sheep herds in the U.S. The family eventually sold the flock and have raised cattle ever since. Brad Little says when he was growing up, he never thought of doing anything else. In fact, he's been a rancher for most of his life.
That's what I knew. That's who my friends were. That's who I operated with.
But the family was involved in another business, politics. Little's dad, David, was a state senator, and in 2001, Little officially entered the second family business to become a state senator himself. He was elected into a leadership position almost immediately. State Senator Sean Keogh served with him for years. She says he's not your typical, charismatic, larger-than-life leader like Idaho's current governor, Butch Otter.
He's not as outgoing as Butch is. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't want to know you. He does. I think it's just a little harder for him.
It's a stark contrast to Governor Otter, who famously entered and won a Mr. Tight Jeans contest when he was lieutenant governor. Little can be shy, according to his colleagues. Someone who doesn't like to be the center of attention. Someone who's more comfortable talking policy than his personal life. Like Otter, Little does have his critics in his own party, though. He's been called a rhino, Republican in name only. Wayne Hoffman runs a conservative think tank called the Idaho Freedom Foundation.
I wouldn't call Brad a liberal, but I also wouldn't define him as a staunch conservative.
Hoffman faulted the then state senator for votes he cast to raise taxes, but he also gave Little a thumbs up for other votes he took to cut spending. And Hoffman says he's keeping an open mind on what Little could accomplish in office.
Brad has an opportunity to chart his own course. I would hate to predefine what that course will be.
On the campaign trail, Little has talked a lot about cutting taxes and reinvesting in Idaho's education system. The goal, he says, is to keep younger Idahoans from moving out of state. And he wants to meet that goal in partnership with the legislature.
I don't want to beat my chest about some. I want to say, there's the goal, you know, more or less. Let's get there. How can I work with you to get there?
A Democrat winning the governor's seat in Idaho may be about as rare as drawing a bighorn sheep hunting tag, but that doesn't leave Little complacent. His opponent, Paulette Jordan, has energized voters in ways not seen for decades, and he's taking her campaign seriously. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm James Dawson.
You can find all our election coverage on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org.